Good morning, Westgate. How's everybody doing? It is a great day to worship the Lord together, amen. Even if my football team lost, it's still great to be here today, right? Well, let's stand together. Let's sing of God's great love for us, amen.
Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Yes, His open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Signs and wonders.
resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Spirit, Son, and Father, our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Praise to the Lord and for this worship band that has led us this morning. They're amazing, aren't they? And I know they don't do it for themselves. They do it because they want to bring us to the foot of Christ and worship Him. And so I'm super grateful for them. Make sure you thank them. It's a hard job sometimes. I was just talking earlier how they get up a lot earlier than us. Starts with a 6, which is way too earlier for me. So anyway, welcome to Westgate Chapel. My name is Marlena Burrow. I'm the director of kids ministry here. And I'm just so glad that you're here. And if you are visiting with us today, we're especially glad to see you because we haven't met you before or seen your face. So what we would love for you to do, if it's your first time or maybe your second or third and you've never filled this out, if you could look in the pew in front of you, there's a card that says Connect. And Connect simply means that we want to know you and you get to know us. And so there's lots of things on the back that you can fill out, things that you might want information on. We're not going to like sell your information to anybody. We just don't do that. But we would love to get to know you. And so if you could fill that out, you can go out these doors at the end of the service. There'll be someone out there who can answer any questions you might have. We have a little free gift for you and just want to be able to see you face to face so that you can get an idea of Westgate and what we're all about. So again, super glad you're here. For our regular people who are here often, we still would love for you to fill that out, because there's a place on there called prayer request. And as a staff, we take those very seriously, because we know that prayer changes things. And so when you let us know the things that are happening in your lives, we get to read those together. We get to spend prayer time each week praying for you. So please go ahead and fill that out. Also, another thing that we have coming up is baptism. Oh, come on. Okay, I'm gonna try one more time. We have baptism coming up. Baptism, and we're like, okay, yeah, baptism. You know, we do it a couple times a year. It's really sweet. No, guys, like, baptism is one of the most amazing things that I think we can do as a church. We are witnessing people saying that I have chosen to lay my life down to live for Christ, and they stand in front of us to make that public declaration. And so what an amazing thing that we get to do together on November 10th. And so November 10th, we're going to celebrate together. We're going to have kids all the way up through the oldest saying yes to Jesus, saying, I want my church to know the decision that I have made. And I remember when I was 7, and I was terrified because, A, I couldn't swim, and I thought the pastor was like, he's going to hold me down too long. We don't do that here either. Just a little bit. But I made that choice in front of thousands of people, and that was impactful to me, to be able to say publicly to all my friends, to all my family, that I chose to follow Christ, and I want you to know. So if that is you, and maybe you haven't done that, no matter if you're 4 years old or 400 years old, I know it's not possible, but if it was, we would still love for you to consider coming to one of our classes. We have two classes. We have one that's called just baptism class, which is for our students and adults, and that's going to start October 13th, and also Kid Faith. They both start October 13th. They're both 3 weeks long, and in those classes, especially like the adult class, you're going to dive into, why do we think it's important that you get baptized? What is baptism? And why do we celebrate it as a church? Even if you're like, I don't know if I want to get baptized, but I might, you can still come. There's no pressure to, you know, complete with baptism, but we want you to have the opportunity to get those questions answered. For Kid Faith, up there you can see your child asking big questions about faith and baptism. So if your child's interested in pursuing baptism, or they're asking really big questions about what it means to follow Jesus, we want you and your child to come and join us in that class, where we walk through, who is God? What does it mean to follow him? What does it mean to choose to follow Jesus? And why do we baptize? So again, if you've never done that, maybe you were baptized as an infant, or you've never pursued that, no matter how old you are, we would love for you to consider, have you chosen to follow Christ in baptism? Again, it's a celebration. What's the date again? November 10th. You guys got this. Way to go. Again, this is the worst part for our introverts in here. Sorry, I'm one of them. But right now, we're going to have you guys stand up and find someone. And I know it's 90 degrees outside, but we're going to talk about fall. So tell somebody what your favorite fall activity that you're looking forward to is.
I love it. Marlena is talking about how we as a church believe in the power of prayer. And I just want to pray over you guys real quick before we continue in worship. Father God, I thank you that we can be here in this place, that we have these freedoms in this place. And no matter what's going on in the world, you see it all. Your hand's in it all. And we thank you that there's nothing beyond your control and beyond your power, God. We love you. We praise you. May we truly pour out our hearts and worship to you. Amen.
Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. Amen. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. Nothing that our God can do. With just one word, you heal what's broken inside me. Just one word, and you revive every dream. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can do. No, there's nothing that faith arise, let all agree, and there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain. Oh,
Praise the one. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, and we praise you for who you are. God, we praise you for all that you have done in our lives. As we gather here today, Lord, we acknowledge and we recognize the incredible gift that you have given us in being able to be a part of your church, a place where we can come week in and week out and worship you, God, for all that you are and all that you've done. We thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to die so that we could be reunited in a perfect relationship with you, restored. Praise you, God. We praise you, God, for how you are involved in our lives every single day, that you are intimately involved. You know every situation, the good and the bad, and you walk with us in it. Oh, Father, we praise you and we thank you that we have this place where we can come and we can worship you in song. We can worship you through the word. We can worship you through the sending out of others, going out to continue to share the good news of the gospel. We worship you as we give our offerings. Lord, we worship you with our whole heart and our whole lives because you are so worthy. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that as we move through this service, God, that you, that all of our worship, no matter what it may be, that God, it would rise before your throne as a beautiful and a fragrant offering, that it would bring glory to your name. And as a byproduct of that worship and that surrender and submission of our heart, God, I pray that you would change and transform our hearts. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we give this time to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. We're going to take our morning offering. You may be seated. And as we take up our offering this morning, our offering baskets are here in the middle aisles on the bottom floor. I'd invite you to grab those. We're going to pass those to the side. They're up in the corners in the balcony. You can pass them in. We're going to continue in our worship as we give our tithe and our offering to the Lord this morning. As we're in our worship this morning, we have a privilege, and it's a little bittersweet privilege, I might add, but a privilege. If you've been reading the messages that we've been putting out over this past month, you'll know that our student ministry pastor, Steve Fisher, and his family, Melissa, Prescott, Kobe, are going to be leaving us. And Steve came to me at the beginning of summer to share with me that he had been approached about giving leadership to one of our CNMA churches here in Toledo that had a lack in leadership and Anchor Church. And as he came and shared that with me and was praying through the opportunity, we have been talking about it, praying through it, and obviously your family has been spending a lot of time praying through this, but ultimately have made the decision to go and to provide leadership there. And this morning, we want to, number one, we want to thank Steve and Melissa and the boys for just your ministry with us. You know, it's funny, I was thinking in between services today, it's been about six years that you've been here, and we got an interesting start together. I had just become a lead pastor, and a couple years in, we decided to have a pandemic, which was an interesting season to do ministry through. And I just want you to know, Steve, I appreciate the grace that you have shown, but even that, the voice that you have lent and the leadership you have lent to our team, walking through many seasons together, and the bond that at least I feel we have developed together is something that is special and will continue. So I am excited for you, even if I want to kick you when you walk off the stage. But excited for what you guys have in front of you. I want to give you as well an opportunity just to share any words you might have with our congregation. And I'm going to invite the elders and staff to come and join us.
So just first, I just wanted to take a minute just to say thank you. We have loved being here at the church over the last 6 years. When we were going to move from New Jersey, as many of you knew, I grew up here, but we were moving back to be by family after 15 years kind of away and not knowing kind of where we were going to land, and this opportunity opening it up and just seeing how God works And then being part of a church family that we always talk about. And you have been all have been amazing. Our church staff, for me, working here have been amazing. In fact, as I was continuing to talk to Anchor and then kind of gave them my official resume, my cover letter for about half of it was, my job is amazing. My staff is amazing. I have an awesome job. This might be a weird way to start a cover letter. But feeling as though that, yeah, this was such a blessing to my kids, my wife, to the eldership that has and the leadership that has been given. We have been so blessed being here. And then also just thank you to parents who have trusted us with your kids. I know that's, as a parent, that's hard. Giving someone and trusting them to come alongside you and help raise your kids and disciple them. And so for you parents that have had your kids in our student ministry, thank you so much. Thank you for the way that you've bought in and been a part of that for all this time. And then lastly, the piece that I want to leave, and I was just talking to another student again about this, is the idea that as we go like and provided leadership for this church, under Rob, like we have talked about that we are going to be a church that sends people out, that is going to go to reach our neighbors and the nations with the love of God. And so how can, as a leader, I stand up here and preach that on a Sunday morning, on a Monday night to your students, and then not also think that, does that not also apply to me?
Yeah.
That applies to all of us. And so as that opportunity was kind of given and shown, feeling like, man, it's one thing to say what you believe, and it's another to actually go and do it, and going, we're going to go and do it, and as so many have before us and will continue after. And so looking at not as really leaving Westgate in my mind, but just an extension of what Westgate has done for how many decades, right, for so long of being a church that sends out to share the good news of God with others, and that we're just continuing that legacy here at Westgate. So thank you for, yeah, our time, and we've loved being here with all of you. And we're right up the road. You're going to still see a lot of me, I would imagine. So
that's great. Well, please thank their family. And I'm going to invite you to stand with us, and we're going to pray and commission the family. And I'll just invite you as we lay hands and pray, just if you feel so led, to extend your hand out and join us just in solidarity as we pray over the Fisher family. Lord God, you are good. And I believe your word that says you direct every one of our steps. I believe when your word tells us, God, that you have prepared works in advance for us to do. And I thank you, Lord, for Steve and Melissa and their humility before you to listen and, Father, to really consider your voice and where you are calling them to serve you. Father, I want to pray an incredible blessing on this family. I want to ask, God, that as they go to provide leadership at Anchor, Lord, that you would take your hand of blessing with them, and that, Father, you would expand their reach in our community. Lord, I pray that through their ministry there, that we would see many, many more people in our community coming to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would bring out all of the giftedness in this family, that you would bring out new giftedness that is needed for the work that you are calling them to. And Father, we pray that we would continue to hear incredible stories of what you are doing and how you are changing lives through their ministry. Father, I pray that you would provide for and meet every single one of their needs as a family. I pray for Prescott. I pray for Kobe as they move into this new season with their parents. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see you in a new and unique way and the call that you put on each of our lives, and that you would increase their faith in you, and that, Father, they would feel the same passion that runs through their mom, through their dad, a passion to serve you wherever you would call. And so, Lord, I pray this blessing, and we commission them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we are trusting and believing in you, God, to do great things. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right. We love you guys. And as I just have to say, as is tradition, our
our Threads of Love ministry has a beautiful quilt for you guys.
Yes.
And at the close of our service today, we're going to have a special time in the atrium for you guys to connect. So would you thank them again for their many years of service here. Well, as we dive in together this morning, you know, it's one of the conversations that Steve and I had as he came to me at the beginning or towards the end of June, and we started to talk about this possibility. As he said to me, he said, you know, Rob, one of the things is that we have a lot of great leadership. And he mentioned this just a moment ago, that we have a lot of great leadership. And we do. We have a lot of great leaders in this church. But it also, when you have a lot of great leadership, it gives you the opportunity to be a church that says when there is a need somewhere, that we can also be part of doing something about that need and answering that call. And I am thankful for Steve and Melissa and their family and their humility, but their listening ear to the Lord and willingness to be used by him. You know, if you have been with us for any time over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we are in the middle of our vision series as we kick off the school year. And it's part of our overall 5-year vision for our church. We are just moving into year number 3. And if you have not been here at Westgate with us for some time, I just want to give you a quick snapshot of what that vision is. It's entitled Deep Roots and Broad Reach. You'll see that here on the screen. And this 5-year vision was again started 2 years ago. And the idea behind it is that we believe God calls us as his church to be growing deep roots into a relationship with God. And that one of the key ways that that happens within the context of the church is by not only being deeply rooted in him, but also by being deeply rooted in relationship with one another. One of the goals that we set out in this 5-year vision was to be a church that had 80% of its people in life groups, doing life together, growing together, believing that when God says in his word that the church and the relationship that is there is one of the key ways that he uses to help grow us in a relationship with him, we believe this was an important goal for us. And so on the screen, you'll see that the goal was set. I think we were sitting somewhere around 60% or 63%. We shared 2 weeks ago that we are currently sitting after 2 years at 70% involvement. Last week, we added about 25 more people into life groups at our life group sign-up event. I'm super excited about that. And I'll just say that if you are not connected and would like to do so, please talk to Pastor Adam Just about getting connected into a life group. But today, that pushes us to somewhere around 74% already after 2 years, which I am super excited about. Yeah, please, it's great. Because it means that we're taking seriously God's call to invest in each other and to push each other to grow deeper in our relationship with God. But part of deep roots is also understanding that as we grow deeper roots in Christ and with each other, that the natural outflow of that is that we will have a broad reach. As we connect to the very heart of God, his mission and his passion will become ours to reach people with the good news of the gospel. One of the goals that we set out was to have 250 people who either were baptized or made a profession of faith. And I shared with you last week that we have just seen God do incredible things with 113 people over the last 2 years expressing faith in Jesus for the first time, somewhere around, I think it's 86 people being baptized. Just fantastic to see how the Spirit of God is moving as we commit ourselves to reaching out into our circle, sharing the good news of Jesus, and trusting that he is going to be the one that changes lives. I've been so excited to watch and see how we as a church have begun to take seriously the fact that we know God has placed us in relationship with others, either as individuals or as a church in this community where he has called us to make his name great and intentionally share the love of Jesus with other people. It's exciting to see. But I want to talk to you about another aspect this morning of broad reach and what that means. Because when we talk about having a broad reach, we're talking about reaching our neighbors, people in our circles, but we're also talking about reaching the nations. And I want to ask you this question this morning. If you have your sermon notes, you can pull them out and follow along with me this morning. But I want to ask you this question. Does God's mission matter to you? Does God's mission matter to you? Now, when I ask you that question, does it matter to you? That could mean a couple of different things, and I've found this to be true. Let me give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, Rochelle came to me, and she asked me one evening, she said, hey, I'm going to make dinner. What would you like? Would you like me to make spaghetti? As I sat there, I was like, nah, that doesn't sound good. And then she said, okay, well, how about taco salad? Does that sound good? No, not really. And she began to give me some other options and things that we could make. And no, I'm not really feeling that. And finally, she looks at me and what does she say? She says, well, would you just like to get up and do it yourself? Right? And no, not really. And ultimately it was, you know, I don't really care. Just do whatever. Here's the deal. When we talk about something mattering to us, it can mean one of two things. We could just have a lot of opinions about something, which my wife found to be true, but not willing to do anything about it. Or, as we see in Scripture, and when I ask you this question, does God's mission matter to you? I'm not asking you, do you have an opinion? I'm asking you, does it matter so much? Does God's mission matter to you so much? Is there such a passion burning in your heart for the things that burn in the heart of God that you cannot help but do something about it? That is what I believe God calls us to when we talk about his mission. Does God's mission matter to you so much that it moves you to action? I also want to ask you this question this morning, because if we're going to ask whether or not God's mission matters to us, then we must ask, well, what then is God's mission? And I want to unpack that together just a little bit this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you can pull them out. I'm going to jump this morning, though, all through Scripture. But if you've got your sermon notes, I want to invite you to follow along. But in order to answer the question of what is God's mission, I believe we have to begin with the question of, well, what is the ultimate goal of God? When we read the Bible, when we dig into it, and we can do this all throughout God's Word, we need to answer the question, what is the ultimate goal of God? And here's what I see. Letter A is that the ultimate goal of God is that his glory would be exalted. That his glory would be exalted. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 is a great passage in the Old Testament that illustrates this. God says through the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says these words, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give what? Glory to your Father who is in heaven. Not only does Jesus say it, but then we see Paul, whose life was radically altered by Jesus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, say, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it what? All for the glory of God. Wherever we look in Scripture, we see that the ultimate goal of God is that his glory would be exalted. All of Scripture tells us that God has designed all of history to culminate in his own exaltation. It's his goal. God is doing all that he does to exalt himself and to make his name great. Now, to some of you, you might look at me and say, that sounds rather self-centered. You might look at me and say, wait, Rob, are you saying that God is self-centered? And I want to be abundantly clear this morning. I am not saying that God is self-centered. God is saying that he is self-centered. There's the difference. Of course he is. He's God. Who else would you rather him center himself around? You? Me? President Trump? Vice President Kamala Harris? Any other world leader that's here? No. Why? Because if God were to center around something else, he would no longer be the all-powerful God who is worthy of all exaltation. Of course God exalts himself. He is God, and there is no one like him in all of the universe. But not only this, I want you to catch, is that the ultimate goal of God is that his glory would be exalted, but also, letter B, that his glory would be enjoyed by all people. that his glory would be enjoyed. He wants you to enjoy his glory. We see this beautifully. I said that God has been exalting himself and his glory throughout the whole of history. And we see the culmination of that in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, where it says, John says these words. He says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" I want you to see that picture that John paints for us of tribes, nations and peoples and languages all around the throne of God, worshiping him and crying out to him. And then I want you to answer and think about this. What is the glory of God? Certainly, the glory of God is that he is perfectly holy. It's that he is the all-powerful God, the creator and sustainer of all things, of whom there is no equal in this world. However, it is also found that the glory of God is found in the words that are uttered by the nations and tribes and peoples and languages that surround his throne in this vision that John has when they say, "Salvation belongs to our God." The glory of God is found not only in who he is, but what he has done. The glory of God is found in the fact that while we sinned against God and pit ourselves as the enemies of God, that God in his great love for us, rather than bringing an end to our existence, sent his son to die on a cross to provide a way of salvation. That is the glory of God, that he would love us so much that he would make a way for salvation. So in a nutshell, when I ask you the question, does the mission of God, does God's mission matter to you? In a nutshell, we need to understand that the mission of God, fill this in, is that mankind would turn their hearts back to him. That is his mission. And if that is his mission, it makes most sense that we had ask ourselves the next obvious question. What then is God's plan to accomplish this mission? Now, if you've been in church for any period of time, you already know the answer to this question. Found in Matthew chapter 28. What is it? The Great Commission. The Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28 is God's plan to accomplish his mission. If you have your Bible, you can look at it with me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says this, that Jesus came and said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission, Jesus, after he has died on the cross, resurrected to life, is now been interacting with his disciples, and right before he is going to go and ascend back into heaven, gives them this commission, essentially saying, "This is the mission that I have and have been given in this world, and I am calling you to join me in it." And the Great Commission is simply this, letter A, that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to all of our issues. What does he say? Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." When Jesus died on the cross, taking the penalty for our sin upon himself, he purchased our salvation with his blood. It is only through faith in him that we can be saved. And this is the beautiful message of the gospel. It's that Jesus came to save sinners. While we are hopelessly lost in our sin, he came and paid our penalty so that we could be restored in a relationship with God. It is only Jesus that can truly transform a person's life. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Jesus is the answer. But the most important call that is put in this letter B is this, is that you are the messenger. Not only have you received this incredible, beautiful gift of the gospel and your own salvation, but you are the messenger and you are called to do something about it. Go, therefore, and make disciples. In the Greek, it is a beautiful, beautiful translation. Go, therefore, make disciples. My mission, Jesus says, needs to matter to you. Not just that you would have an opinion, but that you would do something about it. And as you look at this passage, it is loaded with verbs to go, to baptize, to teach. But there is something that I believe in the Great Commission that we often don't understand and that we miss. And I want to point it out to you this morning. Is God's plan general or is it specific? Is it general or is it specific? I would offer to you this morning, letter A, that we often treat God's plan as a general plan, as a general invitation. We see it as a command to make disciples among as many people as possible. And don't get me wrong, there is absolutely nothing wrong with us making disciples who make disciples as, among as many people as possible. In our broad reach initiative as a church, that's what we're talking about. Understand who God has put in your circle. Understand that he has called you to be the one that would take the good news of the gospel of what he has done in your life and to share it with them. It's the reason that we celebrate 113 people making a first-time profession of faith is because we want to see people be disciples of Jesus. It's a huge part of our five-year vision. It's important. But the Great Commission is not a general command to make disciples among as many people as possible. Rather, and I want you to write this down, the Great Commission is a specific command to make disciples among what? All the nations. All the nations. Letter B, God's plan is specifically to reach the nations. In the Greek, pantata ethne, all the nations. When we say nations, though, I want you to understand we are not just talking about geopolitical entities. You may have traveled a lot around this world. I've traveled a bunch. When I was thinking this week of the number of countries or nations that I've been to Israel, I've been to Jordan, I've been to Mongolia, I've been to South Korea, I've been to Taiwan, I've been to Thailand, I've been to Cambodia, I've been to Canada, I've been to Mexico, I've been to Germany, I've been to Austria, a number of nations. But when God's word says that God's plan is to reach the nations, it's not talking about geopolitical entities. You know, there are 195 countries in the world today, but when the Bible talks about nations and tribes and peoples and languages, it is talking about all of the ethnic groups and peoples of the world. Best estimates today tell us that there are 17,446 people groups that exist in our world today. And Jesus tells us in the Great Commission, I want disciples to be made of every single people group. We aren't left with the option of just making disciples among certain people groups. We are commanded to reach all of the people groups of the world. And I want you to think about how seriously the Apostle Paul took this command as his life had been transformed by Jesus and the ways in which he took this seriously. In Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, we see him say these words. He says, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. He quotes the prophet Isaiah there, describing the fact that the burden that is on his life because of God's call, his great commission to go, is that he is not just focusing on people that have already come to faith in Jesus, but his heart is burning for those who have never been told. And I want you to see how this plays out in Paul's missionary journeys. You'll see this on the screen as we look at these maps together. This is Paul's first missionary journey. As he begins in Antioch, and you'll see in those, Antioch, but in Seleucia, and in, you'll see here the red lines are him going out on the journey, and the blue lines are him coming back from the journey. And you'll see that on his first missionary journey, he left Seleucia and went to Cyprus. And when he went to Cyprus, there he planted and started a church, a group of believers, saw many people come to faith. He then moved on and went across the Mediterranean Sea over to Perga, from Perga to Poseidon, Antioch, to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then ultimately back to Antioch. Each stop along the way, going and taking from Jerusalem and Judea the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, planting churches and calling people to faith in Jesus Christ. But look what happens when you look at his second missionary journey. As you look at the second missionary journey, which begins again, kind of top right of that long line up there, he begins again in Antioch, and then he goes to Tarsus, and he goes to Derbe, and Iconium, and Lystra, Poseidon, Antioch, again, places he's already been, building up the church, encouraging the church. But from there, a passion that he has, a calling that God has given to him, was to leave these areas and go and continue to spread the gospel to places where people had not heard. He travels to Ephesus, to Troas, or I'm sorry, he's to Philippi, to Thessalonica, to Berea, to Athens, to Corinth, to Ephesus, back to Jerusalem, and then back to Antioch. Then look at his third missionary journey as he goes out. What's interesting about this is it looks a little bit similar to the second one. He starts in Antioch, but travels to Tarsus, to Derbe, to Iconium, to Lystra, Poseidon, Antioch, Ephesus, Troas, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, places where the gospel has already gone, building up and encouraging the churches. But one significant event takes place when he comes to Corinth. And what is that event? He writes the book of Romans. And he writes to the church in Rome, and he expresses to them so clearly that his heart is to come and to visit them and to encourage them and to build up believers within that community. But then he clearly says that there is a call that God has given him to go on even further to Spain to continue to spread the gospel. You see, Paul lived his life on the mission that God had given to his disciples and given to believers, to be passionate about the spread of the gospel to all nations, to all languages, to all tribes, to all peoples, so that all could hear. You, here at Westgate Chapel, we're a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, a worldwide denomination that was begun by a man by the name of A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson, when he was a young man, actually had the opportunity to pastor a very, very large and wealthy church in New York City. But while he was there, he had this burden to reach the nations with the gospel. And one of the things that he noticed is that being a pastor in New York City is there were many immigrants coming from overseas to the United States, passing through Ellis Island. He wanted desperately to reach them with the good news of the gospel. Here's the problem. His church wanted nothing to do with it. They loved having their church body. They didn't want to bring these new people in that came from a different place, some that spoke a different language, some that weren't as well off. And the passion that A.B. Simpson had was so intense, the call so clear from God to be a part of taking the good news to the nations, that he left this well-to-do church, a situation that was perfect for him, and moved into a place of unknown, where he would begin a movement of people that were passionate about seeing the gospel taken to the very edges of the earth. When you hear about our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, that is the foundation that it's been built on, that we believe God's call and we take it seriously, that we are to be a part of his mission to make sure that every single people group in this world has the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But there's a problem. And the problem is this, is that even though we have examples of people like Paul and A.B. Simpson who understood the call of God, letter A, there are over 3.4 billion people in our world today that are unreached by the gospel. And I want you to think about that number. There are 8 billion people by most estimates that live in our world today. 3.4 billion people that are unreached. But I don't want you to be confused. Can I define unreached for you this morning? Unreached does not mean just that they are lost people and they don't have Jesus. People are just as lost in places like Yemen today as they are in Toledo, Ohio without Jesus. But there's a difference. And that difference is this, is that there are churches in Toledo and countless numbers of Christians. In Yemen, there are very few Christians. There are very few churches. And it is even illegal for you to leave the Muslim faith and to come to faith in Jesus Christ. To do so would to be to put your own life on the line. Here's the deal. When we talk about unreached, we're not just talking about lost people. We're talking about people who don't have access to the gospel like you. They are unreached. 3.4 billion people around the world who do not have access to the gospel. People who are born, who will live, and who will die. And the likelihood is they will never, ever hear the good news of God's love in and through Jesus Christ. They are unreached by the greatest news in the world, and they will stay that way unless someone does something. And unless someone does something bold to reach them. The problem is that there are over 3.4 billion unreached people by the gospel. In a world where the population is continuing to grow and the number of unreached is continuing to grow, but even more, what fully compounds this problem, letter B, is that many Christians believe in the mission but are unwilling to do something about it. We have an opinion that it's a really great thing that God is doing and that someone should do it, but very few are motivated so much by the mission of God that they move themselves to action. I want to give you this illustration of this. David Platt is a pastor. Many of you may have heard of him. He is pastor of McLean Bible Church in Washington, D.C. He's written a number of books, Radical and others like it. But he was also the head of the Southern Baptist International Mission Board for a number of years. And he tells the story of when he was a young pastor, he was reading scripture, and he talks about when he first came to that place of understanding the call of God to be a part of his mission of taking the good news of the gospel to the nations, to all people groups, to people without access. And as he really began to understand it and pray through it, he went to his wife and just told her, I really believe that God, this is what God is calling us to. So they prayed together and they believed together that they were supposed to go. And so he decided to go and talk to the leader of a very large missions organization that they could potentially be sent with. They got together. He got together with him for breakfast. As they're having breakfast together, he pours out his heart about what God has been teaching him in his word and the burden that he has been feeling. And he says that this man from this large missions organization spent about 60 seconds encouraging him in what he had shared with him, but then spent the rest of breakfast talking to him about the need for pastors to shepherd churches where the gospel has gone for the spread of the gospel where it has not gone. And David Platt said that when he came out of that meeting, he walked out so confused. He did not know what to make of what just happened. And he went home to his wife, and as he began to share with her, she said, how did it go? And he says, I think the leader of this organization just talked me out of becoming a missionary. And she looks at him like, what did you do? What did you say? You've kind of messed up the whole direction of where you think God is leading us. But David Platt went on to say these words that were so striking to me. He said, I was so thankful for the conversation on that day because it put a category into my mind of a person that I don't think was there before. Apparently, there's a kind of person who is passionate about the spread of the gospel and the glory of God among the nations, but who doesn't become a missionary to another nation. There is that type of person, and he says, the more that I thought about it, well, of course there's that type of person. There must be. It's called a Christian, right? Only those who are passionate about the spread of the glory of God among the nation become missionaries? But what about the rest? Do we not want the glory of God among the nations? The Spirit of Jesus wants the glory of God among the nations. Do you have the Spirit of God living within inside of you? then you must, if you do, be passionate about his mission, about the spread of God's glory among all nations. God help us. God help us. We have taken his purpose in this world and in all of history and turned it into a compartmentalized program within the church that is only for a select few people who really care about that. And I would say to you this morning, would you pray with me, God, would you deliver us from a Christianity that ignores your clear purpose, your desire to see people from all tribes and all languages and all tongues, all throughout the world, come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to give you the one sobering example this morning of just how true this is, that while we believe the mission is important, few are willing to do something about it. And this is one example of many that I could give. But I want you to think about it. Christians make up 33% of the world's population. We also receive 53% of the world's annual income. But we spend 98% of it on ourselves. Digest that. I want you to digest it. And I want you to look at the second point. Only 1.7% of this income is given to Christian causes. But let me define this for you. When I say Christian causes, I'm talking about the local church, I'm talking about parachurch ministries, I'm talking about outreach ministries in local communities, all of those types of things. Only 1.7% is given to Christian causes. I'm going to come back to this in another message, but this says a lot about our heart when it comes to giving. But number three, of that 1.7%, only 5.8% of that is given to global missions. Do you see how small the number keeps getting? And then tack on to that, of that 5.8%, less than 1%. And I looked at this week as I looked very closely at the numbers. It's actually closer to under 0.5% is given to take the gospel to the unreached people in the world. It is a sobering reality for us. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you need a picture, something to help you look at your own life to say, is my heart sold out for the mission of God? This is one way where we can look and ask the question, do I simply believe it's a good thing? I've got an opinion. Or do I burn so brightly in my heart the mission of God that I must be a part of doing something about it? As we consider this morning, I want to give us some very clear steps that we can take to reverse this trend. Because when I ask you the question, does God's mission matter to you? As your pastor, I want you to hear my heart. I don't want you to answer yes and simply think I've got a favorable opinion of God's plan. I want you to answer yes in the way that Christ calls us in his Great Commission to answer yes, which is not a favorable opinion, but I have watched and heard how Jesus gave his life for me, and I cannot help but make sure people all throughout this world hear the good news of Jesus Christ, especially those who have little to no access to the gospel. And so what steps can we take? I believe that the first thing, the most important thing, we talked about it last week together is that we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. I mean, when you think about Matthew 6:21 and what Jesus says, what did he say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's because whatever is the most important thing in our hearts is what will come out of our lives. And so if we are going to be the type of people, the types of followers of Jesus Christ who are sold out for his mission, then it goes without saying that he must be set apart as the most important person in our life. That we don't have a vision of our lives that simply focuses on myself and what is good for me and how I can feel better in this life, but that my greatest passion is God's mission, because eternity matters. It matters not just for me, but it matters for the people that he has placed in my circle. It matters for people throughout this world who do not hear the gospel. If I sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, his mission will matter to me. And I will be moved by his love for me to share it with other people. I would say as well, letter B, that if we are to reverse this trend, that we also must pray consistently and ask God to burden our hearts for lost people in our own circles. Here's the deal. You're not going to have a passion for people you don't know halfway around the world if you don't care about the people you love most in your life that don't know Jesus today. Do you care so much? Has Jesus so radically transformed your life that in your own circle there is a burning passion so that they would know Jesus loves them? Would you pray and ask God to burden your heart for lost people in your circles? Because as you do, I guarantee you that you will begin to have a greater passion and burden for all people to know Jesus. See, take steps to be educated in global missions. One of the things that I think is so important is that oftentimes we don't even hear or think about what God is doing in the world that surrounds us. One of the great things that's going to be happening here at Westgate in just 2 weeks from now is our Missions Emphasis Week. Missions Emphasis Week, by the way, I have to say this as an aside before I dive into it. And I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Every church has a Missions Emphasis Week at least once a year in the CNMA, or at least they're supposed to. But throughout my time growing up, and even today, I run into so many people that will say, oh, Missions Emphasis Week is coming. That'd be a great weekend to go to the cottage, or maybe to do something as a family, go on a little trip, or just stay home. And, you know, it's just Missions Emphasis Week. How can we say that? How can the very mission of God not matter to us? To hear about what the very Spirit of God is doing throughout the world and desiring to hear about it so that our hearts are in line with his mission for our lives, that we could participate with him in it. You know, when we have Missions Emphasis Week 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a fantastic time. We're going to get to hear from some of our personal missions partners, Rich and Elisa Brown, who are with Inkalink serving in South America. We've been sending teams down to Costa Rica. You've heard a lot of the testimonies from that. They're going to be with us. We're going to get to hear about that work, consider how we can be engaged in it. But there's something that I'm also really excited about, which is this, is that we have some international workers that are coming that I can't say their name this morning because we're on live stream. I cannot tell you what country they're coming from, but what I can tell you is that they are coming from a part of the world where there is less than 1% Christians, where the underground church is essential. And if the underground church is found, they could die for their faith. And they are going to come and they are going to share with us stories of how they are seeing God move in this country of unreached people, where it has closed to very little access to the gospel, and how that gospel is beginning to spread and change and transform lives. And church, I can think of no better way for you to engage your heart than being educated about what God is doing around the world. Make it a priority to be with us during our Missions Emphasis Week. You can also learn about our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance. Did you know that the Alliance today around the world has 700 international workers in 65 countries? But you know what the statistic I'm most proud about our denomination is? 80% of those 700 international workers are in countries where they are reaching the unreached. That there is this passion to go to the least reached, to those who don't have access, and to provide that access. Take steps to be educated. Letter D, make it a regular habit to pray for mission fields and for missionaries. We have all the resources that you need, from our own partnerships to others, where you can develop a regular habit in your own prayer time of praying for God's work around the world. I'd invite you to join our missions prayer group that meets during the midweek here at Westgate to be a part of praying for international workers and for God, the movement of the gospel throughout the world. Letter E, I'd ask you to ask God how he would have you support financially global missions. Would you be willing to pray, God, you have given me resources. How can I use them to support your mission of seeing the nations and tribes and languages hear of your son, Jesus Christ? You know, here at Westgate Chapel, we give to the CNMA's Great Commission Fund. At Westgate, you are a generous church. Over the years, we give about $350,000 a year to this fund to be able to support our international workers around the world. But that is a great statistic. Like, it's a good percentage of the money that comes into Westgate. But can I tell you this? The percentage of those who give is actually pretty low. And the ability for us to do far more, the ceiling is incredibly high. Would God ask you to be a part? Would you be willing to ask him how you could partner in that way? Letter F. Would you ask God if he wants to send you? One of the most bold prayers that you can pray. Here's the great part about being sent in this way. You live in a community here in Toledo where international students from all around the world, many from unreached, closed countries, come to study at the University of Toledo. And we have been able to partner with groups like Water for Ishmael to reach these people with the gospel. And then they go back out into their countries, into their families, and continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have had the privilege of seeing a number of people from Iran and other countries put their faith in Jesus, be baptized here in our church, and continue to go out and to live for him and spread the good news of the gospel. You can be a part of sharing the good news in that way. But as well, we have short-term trips, trips that you can go on that I believe the greatest impact in those is that we get the opportunity to not only be a part of a trip, to see missions with our eyes, but then deeply, prayerfully consider, is God calling me to this? And I would ask you, would you, Christian, be bold enough to pray a prayer that says, God, would you call me to long-term service as a missionary? Are you too afraid to give up the comforts to follow Jesus? It doesn't mean that he's going to send you. I'm not suggesting that everybody here leave today and go be a missionary, because God calls all of us to specific times and places. But would you even consider if that's something God would do? I've seen people in this church like Josh Cook go serve in a war-torn country in Europe. As a young man, he grew up with a passion for seeing the nations come to Jesus. And he answered his call on his life. We have watched together as a church, people like Luke and Maddie Hadid leave their comfortable jobs here in the States to go serve in Costa Rica so that people would know Jesus Christ because they felt that call. We've seen the Erics answer the call, leaving their jobs. Would you be willing to pray, God, would you send me? And finally, letter G, how can this trend be reversed? Go do something. Do something. That can be as simple as I'm going to give $25 a month to the Great Commission Fund and allow God to begin to continually change my heart and give me a boldness and passion for his mission. It can be I'm going to take a step to make prayer a regular habit for mission fields, to join a prayer group. It can be I'm going to go on a short-term mission trip. But church, if you feel a lack of burden and passion for the nations, do something. Please do something. This is God's call, his mission. Does God's mission matter to you? If it does, you won't just have an opinion. You will find your way to be a part, whether that is to be a prayer warrior, to give financially, or to go yourself. He is calling you to join him. Will you faithfully take that step to follow? Father, I pray that God, you would do a transforming work in our hearts. That God, truly, you would that Christ would be sanctified as the Lord of our hearts. Oh God, that we would throw off everything that hinders and give ourselves so fully to you, that your mission would become our greatest priority. recognizing, God, that you may call some of us to just still be here in Toledo, reaching our neighbors, sharing the good news of the gospel, reaching those that are in our circles, but that we can still participate in your mission of seeing the nations come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so give us a burden and a passion for how to be involved so that your name would be made great. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Down my life, I'm giving up control. I'm never looking back. I surrender all. I'm living for your glory on the earth. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory on the earth. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, light a flame in my soul, for every to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
surrender to Him.
I'm laying down my life. I'm giving up control. I'm never looking back. I surrender all. I'm living for Your glory on the earth.
May that be true. Amen.
As we close our service this morning, would you give glory to God, number one, and give Him thanks this morning? My prayer for you is that God continues to work that message in your heart today and throughout this coming week that we have received from His Word this morning. A couple of things I want to make you aware of before we leave today. Number one, we do have a new people party that is happening at the close of this service over in the refinery. If you are new at Westgate in the last week, month, years, whatever, you've never had the opportunity to connect with our pastoral staff, we would love the opportunity to connect with you over lunch today. I'd invite you to come and join us at the close of the service. As well, I want to remind you that Pastor Steve and Melissa and their family are going to be out in the atrium. We've got some snacks out there still, I believe, unless y'all ate all them donuts early. But opportunity to just fellowship together and to thank them for their ministry with us. So please be sure to stop by and do that. I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you that if you need prayer this morning for anything, for healing, just to work through some stuff, our prayer team is here on each side and would love that opportunity to pray. And if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day to say yes to Him. They would love the opportunity to talk with you and pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I would invite you to come as well today. Lastly, church, let me pray over you as we send you out this week to serve the Lord. God, we love You with all of our hearts. You are a good God. Our deepest desire, our deepest passion is that Your glory would be exalted in all the earth. Lord, use us. Open our hearts to how You desire to use us in Your mission of reaching lost people in our community and to the ends of this earth so that Your name will be made great. We love You, God. Change us, transform us, and use us. We pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, church. We look forward to worshiping with you again next week.